Hey everybody, welcome back to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on today's episode, we are going over Season 7, Episode 17, called Face Off, and it premiered on January 29th, 1997. So this one starts out, and David is leaving the After Dark one night, and he meets a young girl named Chloe, who is a backup singer who wants to, I guess, get her music out there. So she asks him to listen to her demo tape, to which he agrees. Valerie has convinced Tom to play in a charity hockey game with Brandon so they can kind of kiss and make up, even though I guess there was no real issue or whatever, but they're not the best of friends, and I guess Tom can play hockey. Their relationship is still a little weird. They're still hooking up, but she doesn't want anything beyond friendship, and she just kind of wants a little bit of a fuck buddy, I guess, from him. I said this before, it's kind of a good deal for him, but we'll see what happens with that. Donna is still freaking out about staying at the beach apartment with Garrett Slan now being out of jail. Kelly reminds her that she has a restraining order against him. But, is a paper going to stop him? Also, it's a temporary restraining order. She doesn't have a full one, so it is up soon, because that's how they work. Brandon has to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to practice for this charity hockey game. It's Tracy's first night staying over at the house, and she's a little nervous about having to see Steve and Valerie in the morning. Brandon assures her that they both like her. I don't know why she's nervous. That's like a weird thing to be nervous about. I can understand if she feels nervous about it if his parents still live there. Why does she care if Steve and Valerie see her in the morning? Like, if she's in a relationship with Brandon, is it weird that they're sleeping together? Probably not. So I don't know why she thinks that's weird. But then later, Steve stops by practice, Brandon's practice, and asks about Tracy, who Steve says she was a little shy in the morning, because obviously we know she was nervous about it. Again, I don't really understand why, but she was. He then notices Tom, and Brandon says he's not sure the two of them will be able to play nice. So Brandon doesn't seem to like Tom. I don't really know why. He just doesn't really, he doesn't like him for some reason. Donna's talking to her parents on the phone, telling them that she's going to court to get the permanent restraining order against Garrett. But she doesn't, what she doesn't tell them is it's not like a sure thing. She's kind of telling her parents, oh, we'll definitely get the permanent one, but the temporary one runs out this day. So I guess she just doesn't want them to worry. Again, so she did get a restraining order against him, but I don't understand why the police were not involved while she was getting all this creepy shit sent to her. I don't know. David does not think that Garrett will do anything, because why would he want to, get sent back to jail? He's been there, I guess, for a couple of years, 2 years. Why would he want to go back? At the Walsh house, Valerie teases Tracy, that she could hear, through Brandon's walls. Clearly, if Tracy is freaked out about that, sleeping over, she's definitely freaked out about that. She's like, you couldn't, and Valerie was kidding. But, she probably could. They do share a bathroom, so she definitely could hear something probably going on in there, is my guess. She notes that Tracy and Brandon seem to be getting a little bit more serious, and warns her not to say I love you first, because it seems as if she is now in the loving, phase of this relationship. So it seemed kind of, is it fast? I mean, I couldn't really get a pulse on what their relationship status was until he went home with her for the weekend, which was also in turn the same time they slept together, which was only last weekend. So, again, it seems to be going fast. I don't know. But Tracy's in love. Steve is then meeting up with Kelly and Claire at the Peach Pit, and Kelly is expressing interest in Tom. Apparently she's got a little crush on him. Don't really blame her fully for it, but you know, she is. Claire tells Steve that a professor of hers asked her to house sit for him for a few days, and she wants Steve to come with her so they have like a weekend away. Is that normal? Like, is a professor asking a student to house sit for you? And also, I don't understand the house sitting thing. I've known people that have stayed at someone's apartment when they were away on vacation because they have a pet. So it was like to at least walk the pet and take care of the pet. But if you don't have pets and there's no pets in this situation, what is the point of that? Or I don't know. Anyways, so Nat mentions that he has the demo tape of Chloe's to leave for David, but Kelly literally jumps at the chance to deliver it, you know, herself, because David and Tom are now living together in that apartment, so she wants to go there and see Tom. On her way out, she runs into Valerie, who basically, like, parked her spot so obnoxiously so Kelly would have to, like, literally get in through the passenger side just to be a bitch, because just Valerie hates her. And then Valerie kind of just taunts her again. She's, like, about, like, waking, not having a man in her bed. She's such a bitch, but it's amazing. So I don't know. I mean, Kelly's kind of interested in Tom, so Valerie better, be a little bit nicer, because this could, you know, come back to bite her in the ass. And she also, like, doing this also, she implies something about Brandon and Tracy have taken their relationship to the next level, because she also knows that there's some feelings with Brandon still there. So she just wants to fuck with their day a little bit, because that's what Valerie does. Then David, Donna, and Garrett and their lawyers meet up with the judge, who is sympathetic to Donna's situation, but does not have proof that it has been Garrett who's been stalking her, so he will not grant her another restraining order. He does warn Garrett, though, not to basically harass Donna in any way, shape, or form, or he will be in trouble. And yeah, all is well that ends well, I guess, even though this is not ending yet. Kelly goes to David's and Tom's house, where Tom invites her to go for a swim. She gets confirmation from him that he is single. He said that he and Valerie did date, but it has not been a very, very long time. So, I mean, Valerie has made it clear that their relationship is not going past just kind of fuck buddies. So therefore he is free to date whoever he wants, which I agree with. So Kelly then invites him for a movie, I guess, instead of going to swim. But they're definitely, I mean, there's a cute flirtation there, I will say, between them. I like the flirting that was going on. Steve and Claire have kind of hit the jackpot with this house that they're house sitting. They plan on taking advantage of being away from the rest of the gang for a little while. So they're going to have a cute little couple's weekend away. They're not fighting, so seems to be good with them there. Kelly and Tom head to the Peach Pit after their movie. They saw a matinee, agreeing to go to another movie together. And when Valerie walks in, spots them sitting together, she is really not that pleased to see them kind of laughing. So she makes up some excuse for Tom to come to the After Dark with her, because she says she needs something fixed. And he knows what this is about. And she basically yells at him for going out with Kelly. Even though as she, you know, she says she doesn't see her as a threat. And she's just using Tom. And Tom's kind of pissed. I mean, he's like, so let me get this straight. I'm not good enough for you. And I'm not good enough for your worst enemy. Good point, Tom. I'm on your side here. Because that's kind of fucked up of her. She just doesn't want him dating Kelly. Obviously. Donna has quit her weather segment to take herself out of the public eye. David is, you know, admiring her for her efforts to protect herself. Like, not, you know, walking anywhere alone. So she's, I mean, she's being better about this. She's also, it seems the stuff has stopped a little bit. David escorts her to her next class. And Garrett Slam ambushes her and tries to tell her that she's got the wrong idea about him. Donna freaks the fuck out, runs off, finding David and tells him, you know, what's going on. And Garrett's not going to stay away from her. I mean, rightfully freaked out. And I mean, also, he's like, you got the wrong idea. Yeah, maybe you're not the one that was the stalker, but you did try to rape her, dude. So why would she want to be anywhere near you? Like, what a fucking Looney Tune this guy is. Meanwhile, Tracy chats with Evan and Rusty, then does exactly, well, she's talking to them about Donna not coming back, you know, because of what was going on. Then she does the opposite of what Valerie tells her, and she tells Brandon she loves him. She didn't, like, say, like, oh, I want to tell you this. It was kind of just, like, it rolled off the tongue type of thing. She was like, you know, I'm heading out now. I'll talk to you later. He's like, all right, I'll give you a call later. And she's like, all right, love you, bye. Like, that's kind of how it went. He kind of froze. She kind of froze, and she wants him to say something, but he basically says, I don't know what to say. So clearly he's not feeling the same way she is, which I thought it was soon, so I get it. Don't say it just because you know, you think you should. It's never a good idea. David and Tom go to Garrett's house so David can warn him to stay away from Donna. Garrett tells them that basically he's not the one that's been stalking Donna, and he only approached her to warn her that she's in danger, because a guy can get anybody he wants if he's willing to risk anything, basically is what he says. And David basically attacks him for saying willing to risk anything, but as they're about to get into it, you know, cops show up, pull them off. And it turns out that the judge was really sympathetic to Donna, that the cops were monitoring Garrett Slan outside of his home without his knowledge. So he's basically, but then that's really kind of crazy. He's like, that bitch, like it's, he's a really creepy guy. And yeah. Anyways, Steve and Claire enjoy some, you know, playing house. She says the professor who owns the house is leaving the country for 6 months for some sabbatical. So the house is theirs if they want it. Okay, so a professor is giving a house to 6 months to a student if he wants because he's going on sabbatical. Is there no one else that he can have maybe come over and, like, flush the toilets and get the mail? Because I think that's what you're supposed to do. He's leaving it to a student. Because that makes sense. Steve's up for it, though. You know, so they're potentially going to live together, is what's going on, it seems. Brandon and Valerie talk hockey at the house. I just said hockey weird. Hockey. Tom, you know, have been placed on opposite teams. They'll be playing against each other. Valerie is also complaining to Tom about, you know, complaining to Brandon about Tom and Kelly going on a date, which Brandon doesn't think is a big deal. He's like, you know, kind of get over it. And Valerie says that Tom can never be just friends with a girl for long. Okay. So then he can't be friends with a girl for long, then they'll be more than friends or they won't be friends. So it is what it is. You kind of made your bed there, Val, with it. So the power is out at the beach apartment in the middle of the night, and Donna is freaking the fuck out. It's kind of amazing. She's running like into Kelly's room, waking her up, pulling her out. It's kind of a funny scene because she's going nuts and Kelly's like, what the fuck is happening? And as they're running out of the apartment, it is the landlord basically saying, I'm sorry, the electric went out, so I called an electrician to fix this. And then Kelly sees that Donna picked up a knife in order to kind of defend her, because obviously she thought something was going on, and she realizes, I think, that Donna's become unhinged from this stuff, which I get. It makes sense. Brandon calls Tracy to say goodnight. I think also, trying to make things better when they had their little conversation before bed. And, he did tell her she kind of wanted to talk about it, and he said to give it some time. So I think she's okay with that. Like, he's just basically, he's like, give it some time is what his feeling is, which I think is the right answer. Back at the beach apartment, though, Donna is getting ready to go to bed. It looks like Kelly's putting up a bath. It's the middle of the night because Kelly was sleeping when the lights went out. But now it looks like she's putting up, like, is she setting a bath for Donna? Because then we see Donna in her room and she pulls over the sheets and there's a dead rat in her bed. So, awesome. Things are going really well for Donna these days. I feel really bad for her. It is hockey time. Valerie and Tracy arrive to the game to talk about their relationship issues. Brandon and Tom have some good-natured banter, so it's possible they'll leave this game with, on good terms. Then Tom waves to Kelly when she arrives, and Brandon tells him basically, she's vulnerable, he's, kind of just warning him off of Kelly a little bit. I think, why is she vulnerable? Is it because of Mark? Or you just don't want them dating? I'm thinking the latter. Tom basically ignores it and then goes over to flirt with Kelly. So they have some, flirty banter again. And, he asks her for a good luck kiss, and they kiss. They have a kiss, and Brandon sees it, and Valerie sees it, and I would say the people that see the kiss don't seem thrilled by it. They start playing hockey. Brandon and Tom are kind of going at each other. This is a charity event, so there's really no, point of that, but, they're kind of just going back and forth a little bit. I guess Tom can play hockey too. Claire is now not sure anymore that living with Steve is such a good idea. Steve admits that he is hesitant too. And Claire isn't even sure if they should keep dating if they're not going to stay together. And Steve tells her that they should just slow things down a little bit. They don't need to rush into a lifelong commitment just because they were offered a place to, live together and they don't want to. I mean, they're college seniors. I don't understand what the rush is also. Like, they're very young. Just seems odd to me. Anyways, back at the hockey game, Brandon lands himself in the penalty box pretty quickly for kind of tripping Tom, it seems, on purpose. Valerie is blaming Kelly's kiss with Tom for his behavior, and Kelly blast Valerie for saying that in front of Tracy, which is kind of fucked up. I mean, Tracy's dating Brandon, so why would you say Brandon's all upset because of that? Valerie then tells her to leave Tom alone because he's not available, but Kelly shoots back and saying that he told me he's very available. And then obviously Brandon gets back out of the penalty box. Second he gets back in, he scores a goal because Brandon is awesome at everything. Right? That's what they always make it seem, that Brandon's the greatest. David and Donna then stop by the After Dark, where they hear part of Chloe's demo. Donna thinks it's great, whatever, who cares. After David leaves the room, Garrett shows up, of course, mentioning that this is where he and Donna first met. He's being creepy because that's what he is. He's mad that David, you know, basically had the cops show up on his case. And then he basically punches David, which is enough to allow Donna to get her restraining order against him. I think that was kind of the point of it. Maybe he's trying to prove a point that you want your restraining order. Get your restraining order. You'll see this is not me. Again, why do you care that much? Like, you wanted to tell her you're in danger. Why do you give a shit? Like, you tried to rape this girl. You went to jail for 2 years for it. Just move on. Like, why do you... It's just weird that he's even, like, in the picture at this point. So, after the hockey game, I didn't mention also, and I'll mention it more in the tidbits, that there's two guys, Cam Neely and Ron Dugoy. I'm not sure about the names exactly. I'll mention this later. They were real hockey players that played in this charity event. And I assume, obviously, at the time, in 97, they were actually, you know, active. So I'll look into them a little bit. Anyways, so after the game, Brandon and Tom make up for kind of the cheap shot that Brandon took at Tom. Brandon promises to stay at a Tom and Kelly's business. And he also tells Tracy that his fight with Tom had nothing to do with Kelly. Sure. Okay. Brandon also has decided to stop being careful and worrying about people getting hurt. I guess that means that he wants to tell Tracy that he loves her. I mean, he whispers in her ear or something, so I guess he's telling her that he loves her. I don't think he does. I think that he is playing with fire here. Not fire, but it's just... She's a good girl. I don't think he's as into her. And I think that I feel bad a little bit for Tracy. That's just where my feelings lie with that. I also feel this hockey episode was solely for the fact that Jason Priestley could show off the fact that he could skate, because we know he's a big hockey fan because he's Canadian and that's what Canadians do. Anyways, at the end of the episode, David, Donna, you know, back at the, you know, with the judge, this time Donna gets her 3-year restraining order against Garrett. He must stay 100 yards away from her. He says it doesn't matter anyway. He's leaving town. My problems are over. Yours are just starting. That's his warning to Donna. Wow, what a stand-up guy. And at the end, at the beach apartment, the real stalker leaves Donna a message while he is watching one of her weather segments. And he promises that one day she will be his, and we get a clue because we see he is wearing a CUTV shirt. So he works at the TV station with Donna. So your guess is, who could it be? That leaves Rusty, who they kind of want you probably to think it is, and Evan, who's the nice guy. Couldn't be him, right? We'll find out, I think, next week. So that is it for this episode. Fun facts and tidbits. So, songs for this episode. When Steve, Kelly, and Claire are at the Peach Pit, it is B-A-B-Y by Carla Thomas. And when Kelly and Tom are at the Peach Pit, when Valerie comes in, it is Please Don't Go by Casey and the Sunshine Band. That's it for the, you know, tidbits and stuff. I figured I'll just do the spotlight on the two hockey players that we saw in this episode. So, well, let's start with Cam Neely. He was born June 6, 1965 in British Columbia, Canada. He's 56 now. He played hockey professionally from 83 to 96. So when this episode aired, he had just retired. He was no longer playing. He was inducted in the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2005, so clearly he's a very good hockey player, well-known hockey player. He played for the Vancouver Canucks and the Boston Bruins. Those are the two teams. And in 1983, he was the 9th overall pick for the Vancouver Canucks. So obviously he was a big time prospect, I guess, at the time. And he currently, though, serves as the president of the Boston Bruins. So that's kind of cool that he is, still doing the hockey thing. And the other hockey player that appeared in this was Ron DeGoy. He was born on July 6th, 1957, which makes him 64 now. He is from Ontario, Canada. All these hockey players definitely come from Canada. He played from 77 to 99. So he was still playing, actually, then when this episode aired. He was the 13th overall pick by my home team, the New York Rangers. He played for the Rangers, the Red Wings, the Penguins, and the Kings. So he played for a few different teams. It's said that from, I guess more recently, from 2007 to 2018, so just a few years ago, he actually did in-studio analyst stuff for MSG, which is the network that covers the Rangers. So he was doing that. So, and I think he lives in the New York area. I've seen kind of photos of him. So when this episode aired, Valerie did mention that his, he had like long, like, beautiful hair, and he didn't wear a helmet because apparently they changed the rules with helmets that they didn't have to wear them, or they were required to wear them. Obviously they are now, but if you were in the league when that rule was changed, you were kind of grandfathered in. So he didn't continue to wear his helmet. But seeing him recently, though, as an older man, he is really, really good looking. Like, he's 64. He is a hottie, I will say. I was like, damn, good looking guy. Very good looking older man. Anyways, I'll leave it there. So that is it for the fun facts and tidbits, and I guess the spotlight on our two hockey players for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Casa Walsh of Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. On the next episode, we are going over season 7, episode 18, called We Interrupt This Program. And I will have a guest with me recapping this episode. So it's been a little bit since I've had someone joining me, but I got a friend coming back to recap this episode. So we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.